still entitled is supported by City Cards with Android Pay. Listening on your phone? Now you can pay while you listen, using the same device. Just tap and go. Download the Android Pay app on Google Play or visit citi.com/AndroidPay to get started. Android Pay is available for eligible Citi consumer credit and debit cards.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
That was a little bit of a funny one.
I, you know, sometimes I like to mix
welcome.
It up. Welcome. I cracked a little bit too.
What is that shirt, Will? It's a really good logo.
This is a GitHub shirt, actually.
Oh, that's
so
really
this
cool.
is, I think the logo, it might say on the back, I can't remember. I think it's the logo for their large file storage system, which you use for binaries on GitHub.
It's a really nice
which we
logo.
Use at Foo.
It is, except I'm going to point out it looks a little like a middle finger.
Oh, I don't think that's unintentional. If you use
really?
GitHub, you know.
My wife and I share, we have a birthday. We have our birthdays are like 4 days apart.
Okay.
And so we recently had a little birthday party at the lovely Bar Agricole with some friends. And we took some pictures. A friend of mine gave my wife, Julia, a beautiful rhinestone tiara, which she wore.
Oh, wow.
And then we took some pictures with it. And we took a picture. And in the back of the picture, I this is not for public consumption. And I'm sorry to do this to you folks. But, and I know you can't stand this.
Oh, I can't
podcast.
Wait to see
Would
this.
Would you turn my headphones up a little
I
bit,
I will
Norm?
Turn your headphones
Maybe
way
my
up.
Mic a little bit.
But the reason is because it shows my kids. And I'm not going to show my kids online.
Ah. Right.
Look at the boys.
Nice. Nice. That's
the best
that's,
part
that's
is,
16. Is 18.
That's thing one's finger, but it looks like it's thing two's.
Yeah.
Like thing one has effectively framed thing yeah. two in this photo.
Wow. That's great.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, no, I can see. Yeah. That's
yeah,
a great. That's,
it totally,
yeah,
totally.
Nice.
Sells.
And they were able to do that while not being able to see the frame.
Exactly.
Perfectly.
It's perfect.
So I saw some very old friends of mine, Stephen and Dagmar, this weekend in Atherton, and they're at this lovely party at a house in Atherton, and I took a panorama of the backyard because it's a beautiful Atherton.
You have a
house.
Panorama. You're a panorama aficionado.
I'm a mm-hmm. junkie. And in the back, if you zoom all the way into the panorama, you can see Thing Two sitting in a chair giving me the finger.
Oh my goodness.
So my younger sister, who I spent 4 or 5 days with while we were traveling, has over the years gone through phases where every time you have a picture of her, her middle finger is in it, just because she didn't like every picture taken as a teenager and young adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so my mom makes photo albums. She just sticks the favorite pictures in the book.
Yep.
And when we're going through them with my daughter says, why is Aunt Lindley always holding up her finger in the picture?
Wow.
My daughter's 3 and a half.
Right.
Right. Observant.
Yeah, I just had to say, you know, it's the thing that she used to do. So then we had to figure out how to stop my 3 and a half year old daughter from shooting the bird every time she gets
the role model,
which was great fun.
Photoshop.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the panorama is a really tough thing, and especially now with cameras that can shoot 360 video, like you have to be aware of everything that's in the frame.
Yes.
You can't. There's no way you can.
Well, you have to be kind, like as aware as you possibly could. Like yeah. we shot some video here, and yeah, I think thing one was sitting in the captain's chair. We blurred him out.
Yeah.
Well, when Eric and I came in, we tried to photogrammetry this room, which is this
Quite
is
difficult.
The worst case scenario of yeah. photogrammetry, right? Because right. there's tons of reflective stuff. There's tons and tons of depth everywhere. It's yeah. really, really. It's just you
well,
should. It's
to
a
explain,
bad idea.
Photogrammetry is yeah. a technique where you're taking 2D flat images, many of them from all different angles, not necessarily from one spot, and then just through sheer computation, the points, the individual pixels in those images get turned into a mesh that can have texture.
Well, in a perfect world, you kind of tell the software where the camera was when it was the pictures were taken, mm-hmm, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It ends up being a blobby mess in a room that's this dense.
With a lot of near field objects, then the computers get tricked. Like, okay, yeah. is that thing actually in front of, or is it in farther back? Is it flat against the wall?
Right.
How dimensional is it? But anyway, when we were doing that, Eric Cheng and I were in here doing that one day, and it was like there's not that many places you can hide in this room that aren't visible from the rest of the room. So like if you're shooting in here,
yeah.
we had to hit the timer, get 3 seconds, and run to the shop, you know, it's just a, it's a big mess.
If you look at the reflection over there, you'll see the invisible cameraman.
No. Whoops.
Whoa.
No, there is no invisible cameraman.
So one of the things I did while I was traveling was I took my VR kit with me, my portable VR kit.
Oh, nice.
I think we talked about this on This Is Only a Test a little bit, but I have one of those MSI laptops with a desktop video card in it. And then I have a camera backpack that I can carry a Vive in. And Vive plus some cheap light stands, it turns out, means that you can set up VR, like walking, standing room, full room scale experience pretty much anywhere. And we did demos. I did demos for all my parents, their friends, a bunch of people that are maybe outside of the, like when I'm demoing here, it's to my friends. So it's all people that are like, you know, mid 20s to, you know, early 50s probably. And taking it one generation back was a completely different experience.
Oh, right. You're doing VR demos for people who are nearly computer illiterate. Not necessarily computer illiterate, but just totally the opposite of digital natives.
That's exactly it. Yeah, right. the digital non-natives. And the and also people who don't have video game experience. Because most people that are our age or younger have at least some passing familiarity with 3D video games. Whereas these folks maybe played like Atari 2600 games and then bounced out.
Right. Yeah, Adam Rogers was saying to me last week, he's like, I try to tell the kids, to me, this form factor holds 70 minutes of music.
Yeah.
Right? That's all.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that, I'm gonna move that off the microphone for you, Adam. It's one of those things that, like in 2000, when I started working at Maximum PC, my desktop computer was inferior in every way to the iPhone that I had in my pocket when I left Maximum PC in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Right. Yep.
So like when you take people who use the iPhone as a thing to email and text people, and then you put them in a thing that completely, you know, you ask them, I always ask them what they're expecting before they put the goggles on. And generally,
that's a great question.
They say, oh, it's going to be like a really cool video game. Mm. And you put the goggles on there in the loading room, which is basically a big dome with lines on it. I mean, we've all seen it, but folks at home maybe haven't. And most of them are like, holy, what on earth?
Even the loading
room. The loading screen. Yeah. I was like, this is just the loading screen. You know, calm down. So I'd go through the normal demo loop that I do for most people. It's based on what Valve showed us last GDC, which is the whale.
The blue
Weaver, the blue, which is the best.
That was my favorite thing.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. Incredible.
But only once.
Right.
Like maybe twice if you really want to dig in. And then I bump them into Tilt Brush because I think Tilt Brush is a really good way to illustrate the difference between looking at a native 3D environment and looking at a 2D projection of a 3D object, which is what we usually do on our screens and in our computers and stuff like that. And I always get them to draw a cube.
And no one knows how to draw a cube.
And they always start out by doing the two squares that overlap and then drawing the corners.
So they draw a two-dimensional cube.
They draw a two-dimensional projection of a cube.
Right.
And then to get them to do the jump, usually the people who play video games kind of get it pretty quickly, right? Because they're used to moving around the world.
Yeah.
But the greatest generation, I guess the boomers is who the folks that I was demoing to. Some of them I had to actually grab their hand and draw, right?
Do you have to move their head, like say you have to walking forward?
You always have to say walk around, walking around. And having done probably 300 or more of those demos at this point, it's always, always interesting to see how different people react to a computer interface that's native 3D and you can interact with your hands.
Right.
But some of them got really into it. I had my sister spent 3 hours one night just drawing trees.
Wow.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun.
That's really cool.
If you have the opportunity, I know a lot of people who listen to this probably have VR stuff. Make sure you do demos for people who you wouldn't maybe think would be into it because it's always fun. And I mean, Penn Ward told me when I met him at a conference last year that like literally you can't overhype the Vive and that kind of standing VR experience. It is 100% true.
And I think that when you give demos to people that have different life experiences as you, they show you things like kids, for example, sometimes just sit down.
Yeah.
And they like enjoy that whole experience without walking around. They just like sitting down. They're seeing it from a different perspective.
Well, and the neat thing about that is you see the world through their perspective too. So when they're doing like Job Simulator and they're trying to cook eggs or something like that, I think they fixed this now.
Right. They had to look over the counter.
Yeah. They had to tiptoe up to get over the counter. And one of them, one of them even leaned up against the counter and just pancaked because the counter, you know, he leaned up against the virtual counter and just totally wiped out. But everything was fine. He scraped his chin a little bit.
That's nifty.
But yeah, do demos. The one thing that I learned is that you kind of have to let people take their own pace and try not to talk to them too much because it's tempting to kind of over guide them when you're going, when they're doing this stuff. And it's a kind of special thing, I think.
So. My mom has just been telling me that her computer's wearing out a little bit. And we're gonna get her another computer, but I mean, my mom is as far from a digital native as you can get, but she's totally game and she's on email and she surfs the web.
So
81
computers for your mom's 10 years older than my parents, yeah. More or less splits the difference. My parents made the transition to phones way, way, way better than I expected, to the point that really they don't use computers anymore.
Mm. Oh.
So they use their phone and iPad.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And they have a shared iPad that they use between them when they need to do something that has a keyboard on it.
I gave my mom one of my old iPads and she uses it almost exclusively for Netflix.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see that.
She watches hours and hours and we can actually see what she's watching because she's on my account.
Right.
There are people I know who they use their phone. The phone is so, it's not just intuitive, but because of the siloing of the individual experiences, it's just so more convenient for them to do it that they'll be sitting in front of their computer and just on the phone.
I do that with email and Twitter. Right? I don't do Twitter on my computer. I have Twitter and email on my phone.
I go back and forth. There's a thing that we don't get on the phone that I wish we did, which was the ability to search within a page, a web page.
Oh, you can do that.
Really?
I showed you how to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's top right button.
You just type
find
it
in page.
Yeah.
It's in Chrome. You can do it.
You can do it in Safari too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's teach me again.
Yes. It's not as easy as a shortcut. Control F over Apple
it's
F.
It's hidden. Like a lot of stuff in iOS especially. Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. We'll show
it's okay. So people are, hold on. We won't show you. We'll tell you right now because people are going to want to know. You go to the thing. You go to the page that you want.
Yeah.
Yep. And then hamburger.
No, you don't have to hamburger. You just start typing.
Yeah.
Type for the thing you want to find. Type the.
What?
Type the. T-H-E.
Okay.
And now find in page. Oop.
In the bottom.
Oh, on this page.
Find on this page. Look at that.
It's in the bottom. It's on the bottom of the menu that pops down. And I think it works the same on Chrome too.
Chrome, it's the hamburger where you can say search in page.
Oh.
And then you click that. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm a little bit smarter now.
Well, yeah. So this is the problem when you abstract out all the UI stuff that's gone from modern phones.
Yeah.
How do people discover new features? You usually have to ask someone or look it up on the internet.
There has been a couple of points in my kids' upbringing where they were severely punished for a large transgression.
And you took away their phones?
And I bought them. Each one had to suffer through effectively a flip phone.
You bought him a burner phone?
I bought him a burner phone. Thing two had to. So we confiscate.
Builds character.
We confiscate electronics every night at 9:30.
That's a good policy.
During the school year. Now they're 17. They're almost adults and we let them keep them during the summer. But yeah, we take the phones away because you just shouldn't be surfing the web all night long.
Yeah. Or on Netflix or whatever
else they're looking at. Thing two, it's a long story, but basically it turned out that for 5 or 6 months, Thing Two was handing me a fake phone every night.
Wait, what?
That's amazing. That's so cool. Oh my God.
He literally went into my drawer of old phones and he took one out that was close enough to his. Here's how confident he was.
Oh my God.
His phone had a shattered screen. The one he handed me did not, and I did not check.
Wow. For how long?
Months.
What the
wow.
Well deserved.
I hope you got him the burneriest burner phone you could buy for that.
I got him really crappy, like Nokia something or other, you know, like a brick.
Oh.
And he had it for months. I think it was 6 months or 8 months I made him use that phone. And at one point, he goes, "This sucks." And I go, "Yeah, that's how I know it's working." And he's like, "Oh, that's pretty unassailable logic."
My daughter's reached the age where when she does something like the punishment is it will take away a toy for an evening,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she has reached the point now where she says, "Dad, I want you to take this one instead."
And she's negotiating.
She's negotiating.
She's doing hostage negotiation.
But she's not even. She's 3 and a half, so she's terrible at it. So instead of getting one that's almost as good as the
you're
one that she
terrible
wants to keep,
at negotiating.
That's I'll take yell. Both of them.
No. She'll go get something that she literally hasn't touched in 2 years. Be like, "Dad, I want you to take this instead." Like, yeah. No, honey,
no.
It's, we no, gotta take
it's got
the one
a
that
sting.
You want.
Otherwise, yeah. We don't know that it's working, yeah, sweetie. So.
That's probably tough a terrible, love. Probably tough a terrible love. Strategy.
My
for
son was
thing
two was just telling me that, like, when he came to me and said, "This sucks," and I said, "That's how I know it's working. That's what a punishment is." He went back to his room and begrudgingly agreed.
Oh.
In his mind, he was like, "I have to admit, he's right."
We talked about Comic-Con last week. One of my favorite moments at Comic-Con that we didn't talk about was after we had set up the IMDb boat.
Yeah.
And you and I are both on our electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And Thing One was helping us set up.
Yes.
And
did you guys bring Segways?
I brought the Segway Mini Pro. Adam brought his one wheel.
Okay.
And we were on the behind in the San Diego Harbor, again, about a half mile from the hotel. We're all done setting up, Adam. And then you're like, okay, time to go. And you just skated off. And Thing One was left to walk back. And I yelled, I wish I could have told you about the world.
Which is a quote from AI. I will tell you, it is not easy being me at Comic-Con, as you know.
Yeah.
If I get stopped, it forms a glut. And so I have to choose where I stop to interact with fans. And we're on an IMDb boat, which means we're walking along that harbor walkway all day long, every day. And the one wheel was the greatest way to get around Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was fabulous because I'm very good at it. I can modulate even in a heavy crowd so that I'm not bumping into anybody.
You didn't wipe out at all?
No.
Okay, that's good.
No wiping out, which is really bad for my self-esteem, too, in front of people.
Look, there's nothing. The worst thing I've ever done is eating shit on that electric unicycle in front of about 30 people.
So I totally bought it on the one wheel on Valencia and 17 months ago when I first had it. And I was wearing a big fireman's turnout coat and it was raining. And it was at a stoplight. I was crossing the street on the one wheel and I completely ass over tea kettle, right? And I got back up. I was fine. I roll. I'm
how to roll.
You're relatively nimble.
Training, so I know how to roll. I got back up on it and rode away. So months later, I'm doing the Reddit AMA. And someone on Reddit goes, hey, I saw you take that spill on Valencia 17. You were right about being a stuntman. I've never seen anyone take a heavy fall so casually and get up and go again. And I was I'm really glad someone saw that. And
that's my favorite. That's my like. There's so much that's bad about making every message board on the internet one site, which is what Reddit's basically done, right?
Yes.
But there's also the best part of it is that when somebody posts something and it's like those random misconnections.
Yes.
Are my favorite part of AMAs.
Yeah. No. And so now I'm much better at the one wheel. And the great thing about it at Comic-Con is by the time you've seen me, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when
I don't mean to say I'm trying to avoid the fans because I'm not. But when I've got work to do and I got to get back to the thing, it just was very efficient. And I love riding it outdoors in the daylight. Like I ride the one wheel all over the mission. Anyone in this neighborhood will tell you it's like I'm ubiquitous on the thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. The walking, the little tiny taste I got of being Adam Savage when Jamie and I did his Don't Stop Walking video.
Yeah. Still one of my favorite things we've ever done.
It's so dumb. And it was super, it was super scary because we're going into the big mob of people. And if the mob forms, there's literally no way out other than to kind of push through.
Then
and,
all the way through.
Yeah.
The part that I end up finding difficult isn't interacting with people. It is specifically that at a certain point I'm going to have to break away, which means I'm going to have to disappoint someone who's been waiting longer than the other people I've interacted with. And that part kills me.
Yeah.
And Comic-Con specifically where the security guards start yelling at me.
Yeah.
Because they do.
Yeah.
The one wheel was awesome. And so to be clear, yes, I left Thing One to carry stuff back to the hotel. They were working for us at Comic-Con.
Totally.
I paid them well for their time. They've worked for us every year for the last 3 or 4 years.
It just tickled me.
Yeah, Norm liked watching me abandon my son on the boardwalk in San Diego.
I abandoned Danica there. So they walked back together. It was
at some point, they're old enough, you have to let them go.
That's right. We talked about kids, Netflix at one point, and also old technology. There's no graceful way. Those things all van in the thing that we talked about. I want to just touch more on, which is Stranger Things.
Oh, God, what an amazing, amazing show. We talked about it last week.
Briefly. And
I've been thinking about it all week.
Yes, exactly. So we still are not ready to do a full spoiler cast, but I did want to give this opportunity to share why, without spoiling it, why it's so good.
So Stranger Things is on Netflix. It's an 8-episode series. The second season has not yet been picked up as of right now.
Oh, it's going to be soon.
I really feel like it will, but I don't know. And since Netflix does not release their
Netscape.
Yeah.
It's my favorite video streaming service.
Dude, I loved spending all night downloading the new version.
Did you
remember that?
My mom asked to see The Spirit of Christmas while we were there because I think it's the first video I ever downloaded from the internet that I would probably share with her.
Yeah.
And oh, you remember the original Trey Parker, Matt Stone thing that was Clooney's Christmas card.
I saw it on VHS in Jamie's shop in the midnight.
I downloaded a QuickTime movie that was postage stamp sized.
Oh my God.
So good. Anyway, sorry.
But Stranger Things. So it's made by a pair of brothers who are twins named the Duffer Brothers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are probably identical twins.
I think they are identical. I say
probably because they have never been genetically tested as to whether they're identical or fraternal.
Oh, so they could be fraternal that just look a lot alike.
They could be fraternal who look a lot alike. And at this point, apparently, they're unwilling to get genetically tested because if they found out they weren't identical, it would mess with them.
Well, their secret language would be a lie.
Come on.
But no, listen, this actually, because we're not going to do a spoiler cast, I will just say that this has some bearing on the overall plot structure of Stranger
Things.
We
should do a spoiler cast if it's
well,
this
we
good.
Will at we, some point.
No,
today.
We will do a spoiler, just not right now.
Yes. Okay.
So it is an homage to 80s filmmaking tropes. Spielberg, John Carpenter, James Cameron, every 80s, Joe Dante, every 80s thing that you fell that we grew up with, mm-hmm. not you, young man, no. but that we
I was
grew
born
up with,
into.
I came in late.
Was is extant in this from the like wonderfully Tangerine Dream like synth soundtrack to the opening credits with sort of like it's slightly overdesigned typeface credits that says Stranger Things to teenagers riding bikes, right. The cop from the big city who's got a chip on his shoulder.
Is there a divorced mom in there? Single mom
there? Is the divorced mom.
There you go. So like, I mean, on paper, that sounds like very cliche. But it is so earnest.
It's like anything, right?
And
it's actually cinematic. So this is the thing that captured me. The pilot's amazing.
What kind of show is this?
It's horror suspense.
Okay. Horror suspense. The pilot is as visually sophisticated as Super 8.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm talking as Spielberg cinematically collage. Sophisticated. The casting is that good. The acting is that good. The writing is that good. This does not feel like television. It feels like a 7-hour movie.
So it's like True Detective or
you know,
like,
there are vibes of that. Absolutely.
Okay. Because
there is a mystery to be solved. The thing that I think the kids, the actors they found to play the kids are incredible.
Apparently the kids were all in the running to be cast in a movie version of It, a reboot of It that did
the Stephen King one.
That one did happen. To tie back to it, was supposed to be directed by Cary Fukunaga, the director of all of the first season of True Detective. He was the one that was going to do the It remake.
Oh man, I'd love to see
now
that.
There's a new It remake that's he's not involved
well,
in
so okay. These kids are phenomenal. So here's, actually, I will do one little spoiler because it's the opening scene of Stranger Things. Imagine this as a screenwriting challenge. You've got 2.5 minutes to show me everything that's awesome about playing D&D with your 12-year-old friends. Communicate to me why D&D is great, how it builds creativity, imagination, and camaraderie.
Are there girls
all
there?
All in 2.5 minutes. No girls.
No, I'm saying it's the old video, the D&D video.
There's an internet video.
It's an internet video from like 15 years ago about monsters playing D&D in the basement. And there's one that's just sitting there saying, are there girls there? Oh. I want to fire magic missile into the darkness. And that's it, right?
It's so literally within 2 minutes, the opening 2 minutes, you are like, you believe these kids, you are with them, you realize that they're great, you love them, you see their sense of honor and obligation to each other. And it sets the tone for the entire 8-episode arc.
Oh man, that
it's
sounds so good.
Fantastic. Winona Ryder plays the mom. She's fantastic. And you'll see as the show develops, she has some difficult stuff to carry as a character because she has to try and convince people that something's going on. And she seems nutty.
So, it could border onto overacting.
It could border onto overacting easily. And Winona Ryder really carries it, I think.
So I'm a little twitchy about horror stuff generally, and I don't like jump scare stuff at all.
It's but more suspenseful
like,
than jump scare.
On the Cabin in the Woods True Detective scale, more on the True Detective
side. True Detective had a lot of like suspenseful moments.
And there was some body horror stuff.
This feels... So at one point later in the series, you haven't seen this yet, some kids are watching The Thing on television.
Oh.
There is some... Listen, there's even Pan's Labyrinth kind of plays a part, I just realized, in the visual iconography of this thing. It's beautiful. And We just finished it the other day, and it's fantastic. I actually want to watch some of it again. 8 episodes. They're right around 45 minutes apiece.
And it's Netflix?
It's Netflix. Again, the kids
and it's
great.
Not one of those Netflix shows that, you know, they got the rights to distribute and that was made overseas. Like, they went end to end on this. The Duffer Brothers had previously done episodes of Wayward Pines, and they also had the movie that came out last year called Hidden, which was, it's another kind of suspense horror film that has a nice twist.
I didn't hear great things about Wayward Pines, but I didn't see it.
People like Wayward
Shyamalan.
Pines.
That's M. Night Shyamalan, right?
It's based on a book, and you know, I think in all, like, there's a lot of kind of alternate reality sci-fi TV things happening from Man in the High Castle. I think there are 4 time travel shows on broadcast television coming up this year.
Yeah. Sliders is coming back, guys.
Something very similar. Wayward Pines.
I have a Sliders prop here, but go ahead.
Wayward Pines, I think, is on the good end of that.
Jerry O'Connell's left hand.
Yes.
I mean, you also have a Westworld coming up on HBO.
I'm really excited.
It's a lot of great television.
I have to say, like, my favorite thing about the digital future that we live in is that somebody like Netflix will just release something amazing that's 8 episodes
and not
in the middle
hyped.
Of summer.
And not heavily hyped. Well, like, let the word of mouth.
That's the thing is, Stranger Things, my friend Ben Acker just texted me 2 weeks ago and said, or literally a week and a half ago, and said, have you watched Stranger Things? It's my everything. And I was like, what? We got to watch this. We watched one episode and we're hooked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll sit down. I'll give it a try tonight.
I can't wait. This will be a really fun reveal.
I'm okay.
I have one more Comic-Con story I forgot to tell last week, which was we went to the after party of the Star Trek premiere on Wednesday night of the con, which was also on the rooftop at the Hard Rock where the EW party happens. And most importantly, Idris Elba was there.
What?
What?
And Chief Bogo?
And my kids,
Stringer Bell.
Thing one and thing two, just revere him. Like, if you get them into a discussion, they will explain why he should be the next James Bond.
Captain Prometheus.
They love him. And they actually went up to him and they asked for a photo and he declined. Now, they said he declined in as nice a way as possible.
How
he was really sweet about it. And they actually, as they came away, they were like talking about it. They're like, he declined. But understand, we said words to him and he changed what he was saying to turn, and he said words to us.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Bruce Campbell did the same thing. I saw him outside our hotel, and we asked for a photo, and he declined in the most gracious way. He said, I'm not working tonight, and he gave us high fives.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, nice.
Exactly. So not working right now.
I have very occasionally, late at night, at like 3 a.m. in Vegas on my way back to the room, I've said, if you don't mind, I'm off duty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
exactly.
Very rarely. I think when you're at that level, Bruce Campbell and especially Idris Elba level, it can be
absolutely.
Especially
I have
Comic-Con.
I harbor no resentment whatsoever for the decline.
And Saturday night at Comic-Con, you're on the you know, heading toward the downstretch at that point too.
Also, nobody understands that better than my kids. Yeah. For years, I've regularly said to fans, when I'm out with my family, I don't take pictures. I don't want to do that in front of the kids. And people have always been really, really sweet about it. So my kids deeply understand that as well. I did get one hilarious photo of Thing One with Blake from Workaholics. This has actually become a rite of passage for my kids, is that every Comic-Con they get to hang out for a little bit
Blake,
with the guys
guy with
from
the big
Workaholics.
Hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Being around the guys from Workaholics, I've said this before, is just like being in an episode of Workaholics. there literally is no veil between them and their characters.
They're just those
Blake was
dudes.
Ready to jump in the pool. He was like, Adam, if you want to take your kid off, let's get in the pool, man.
Holy crap.
I don't think they'd ask you back if you did that. Or maybe they would. I don't know.
I actually, several years ago, Blake did go for a swim in the pool at the party, and security escorted him to the door where bigger security said, no, he stays. And he came back to us all wet.
Bigger security. Nice. The hierarchy. I like it.
It's the fish.
That's so good.
It's a Russian nesting doll.
So that's your homework. We said
Stranger
this.
Things.
Stranger Things.
Dark Forest. I think
we should. It's a big book, so we should give it a month so that we give everybody time to read.
Absolutely.
Yep. I do want to also, I mean, some things have happened. On the site this week, we're finally putting out the video about Frank's new project. Now, Frank, if you guys hadn't seen, Frank Ippolito,
he
exploded, blew up the internet from Comic-Con with his creepy fake Lego-inspired cosplay mask.
Which is so messed up. It is the stuff of nightmares, and I love Frank for thinking of it and then executing it.
We discussed heavily about its skin texture, about the direction it could go in, and...
Did it look like real skin?
Yeah. It looked like real skin.
Gross.
And I'm sure we'll get him on the podcast at some point to talk about
it. Clive Barker movie.
Yeah, yeah. And like we said, like the thing that makes it work, its eyes and mouth, the perfect curve around the edge of its lips really communicate that. And like, what is the sound this character makes? Everyone knows when you look at it, it's...
I have a new ringtone now.
That is the sound in my head when I look at it. That is the sound it makes.
Is that the sound he was making?
We couldn't hear him when he said it, when he was in it.
But did he almost die this year like you did the Rancor?
It was very sweaty.
Also, the hands were so messed up.
Awful.
Big fingernails, creepy hands.
I saw the thumbnail of that and I was like, oh, also from Test? Nope.
Yeah, it's a whole bag of
the fuck out.
This week, we were revealing his other project, which he had finished for the RPF party, and it's his Han Solo in carbonite refrigerator. Ooh.
Which is also really, Frank is busting out. I don't think he's busting out, but it feels like he's going deeper and deeper into the awesome, slight modification of geeky awesome into another realm.
Yes.
Well, you were seeing the inner Frank.
Yes.
So yeah, guys, gotta check that out tomorrow.
The hand in carbonite fridge. Mm-hmm. It's a masterpiece.
I played a game right before I left that was just astounding and is lovely and smart and weirdly meta and is relevant. Has fabulous art design called Inside.
Okay.
It's from the people who made Limbo, which a few years ago was it kind of looks like a rotoscope game where there's just a black shadow silhouette of a character moving across these shadowy silhouette backgrounds.
Is that a scroller? Is that the...
It's a side scroller like Mario or Sonic or whatever.
I played it.
You played Badlands, which I think Badlands probably was inspired by Limbo. It's a little bit more colorful.
Yeah.
Limbo is grim and there's just, it's a game where you have this protagonist who's a small child and just horrible, horrible things keep happening to the point that it actually kind of flips around and becomes really funny.
Interesting.
And Inside takes at first glance, you look at Inside and you think, oh, that's just another one of those. And then you play it a little bit and there's a lot going on there. It's really, really amazing.
Okay.
I'll show you in a little bit.
Please do. I'd love to try it.
Yep. Yeah. And then also teasing this week, we had visits from friends we met at Comic-Con who work at Aardman.
Oh, that was so cool.
Wait, the Gromit, Wallace and Gromit people?
Wallace and Gromit people.
Chicken Run.
Came and bought some of their wares and talked about the technologies they use.
Yes.
Even brought a gift.
So you guys have to check that video out on Thursday. But we're recording a lot of episodes because in a few weeks, we can announce now Joey and I are going to be traveling for 2.5 weeks in the Arctic. In Greenland.
How about that?
I quit like a year early.
So we are going to be spending 2.5 weeks on a Russian icebreaker in good company.
So you know the rules of Russian icebreakers, right? You have to bring a bottle of vodka to bribe the crew so you get all the stuff you need.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't
one
have any
bottle?
Idea. I just made this
I say you should bring a case.
Yeah. I limited case.
We have a lot of big Pelican cases to bring aboard.
It's an amazing
this is super
opportunity.
Cool.
Yeah. So we'll be filming there and doing a lot of interesting things with technology.
Do you know
there.
What you're going to do?
Yes. We'll be, I can't announce everything yet, but the goal is to document it in as many interesting ways as possible.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of stuff going on.
I think that will do it for now.
So, we'll see you guys next week.
Here.
Have you guys both seen? You guys have both seen Star Trek too,
yes.
right?
Yes.
We'll maybe I'll see that between now and the next time we record.
That so
we
sounds can great.
Do a spoiler cast and also, we have a new poster. So every year we do a special poster, and we revealed it now. Adam drew his bear costume design to put all his sketches.
Oh, cool. 16 pages of sketches combined. I graphically integrated them into a single page.
Oh, that's awesome.
Called Elevations of Bear, and this again was this is the first time I've drawn a character and then made. made it come out of a costume. I'm really pleased with the results. I couldn't be happier. And I love releasing these drawings online. I don't think of myself as an illustrator. It's very hard and exacting work for me to do it. But I love these drawings of the bear.
So click the link below to learn how you can get that poster.
And Norm, I know that there's always people who didn't get last year's poster. Can they still, is there a way for them if they subscribed and didn't get it as part of their thing?
Everyone who subscribed should have got, is already on the list for last year's poster, okay. But they are once a year deals.
Cool. Okay. So,
thanks, everyone.
See you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye.